Turn with me, please, to the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 9. The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 9. And shall we read these from verse 17? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. Verse 21. And he, that is the Lord Jesus, asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. John chapter 8, please. John chapter 8. And verse 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Verse 23. And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Hebrews chapter 2, please. Verse 1. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Bear with me, please, while we turn to John 15. John chapter 15. Verse 22, the Lord Jesus is speaking. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not sinned. That is, they had not sinned in rejecting him as the Son of God, as the Messiah. But now, that is, since he has come, they have no cloak or no excuse, as the margin says, for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which another man did, they had not sinned. But now they have both, seen and hated me and my Father. Now finally, please, to John chapter 3. John and chapter 3. and verse 12. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now I think it will be very evident from the reading of these scriptures what we have before us. Each one of these varied conditions introduced by the little word if. First of all, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Then if ye believe not that I am he, said Christ, ye shall die in your sins. If we neglect God's salvation, so great salvation, how shall we escape? Then John 15, says Christ, if I had not come and had spoken unto them, they had not sinned. And then finally, if I tell you of heavenly things, how shall you believe? I want to speak this evening for a little while at the beginning of the meeting on divine conditions on the road of eternal destiny. Now, my friends in the meeting tonight, this is particularly what is before our hearts in this gospel meeting. The Word of God reveals that we must all need God, and that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. And therefore, because there is that which is after death, and we have to go out and meet our holy God and are responsible to him, therefore the prophet says, prepare to meet thy God. Now, although there is death, and although there is judgment, we thank God that God is a pardoning God, that God is a God of salvation, and God desires that all men should be saved and should come to the knowledge of the truth, saved from condemnation, saved from judgment, saved from hell, saved for glory, and saved forever. And we want to ask you tonight, my friends, are you saved? Can you face eternal issues? Can you face death and eternity with the calm assurance in your heart that come what may, it is well with your soul, that you know that you will never come into judgment, but that you pass from death unto life, that your sins are forgiven, that you're a child of God, and that God is your Father. Now, my friend, it is exactly with a view to you having that assurance that we have considered these things tonight. Now, first of all, we find in Mark chapter 9 a man who had a desperate need relative to his son.
And the only one that was able to meet that desperate need was the Savior of sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we indeed have likewise a desperate need in view of eternity. And the only one that can meet that need is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we notice how the need was met simply by a word from the Savior. And I would like to bring out of this portion tonight that God is bringing us on the road to eternal destiny. He is bringing us face to face with the Word of God. Face to face with the Word of our blessed Lord. And as we are reading here, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. What I particularly want to think of this tonight is that it is possible for you, dear friend, in this meeting tonight, through simple faith in the Word of God, through taking God at His Word, it is possible for you to leave this meeting with the absolute assurance that your sins are forgiven. Unto you is preached through this man the forgiveness of sins to the Lord Jesus, and all who believe on him are justified from all things. The Apostle John, as he was speaking in the first epistle, he says, these things I write unto you, that your joy might be full. And indeed, as he spoke to them of the way whereby their joy could be full, he says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven. What a joy it brings to our hearts to say that we have found the forgiveness of sins in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know on the assurance of the Word of God that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. These things are written that you might know that you have everlasting life. And my friend, if you are willing to believe and simply take God at His Word and believe what God has stated here, God has written these things unto you in order that you might have eternal life and salvation and the forgiveness of sins. And I trust that there are those in the meeting, and you sufficiently realize your need in view of death and in eternity, that you have your heart's desire tonight that you would long to know Christ as your Savior, and know that your sins are forgiven, and that you will never come into judgment, but you are passed from death unto life. Now, my friend, I say, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. You can have this sure knowledge of salvation this very night. That's why God's Word was given. And I thank God that I know that I'm saved tonight. I know that I'm saved. How do I know that I'm saved? Because the Word of God has told me that I'm saved. He that believeth, he that trusteth on the Son, that is to save us from condemnation, is not condemned. 35 years ago, I realized I was condemned. But I had the simplicity of faith. As this man, I said, Lord, I believe. I believe that I'm condemned. And I believe that thou hast said that if I trust Christ for my salvation, I'll not be condemned. And God says the person that does so is not condemned. I believe it. And I'm rejoicing in the fact that God has told me that I am saved from condemnation and I will never come into judgment. My friend, you can leave this meeting tonight, and I trust your will with the calm assurance based on the Word of God that you are saved. If thou canst believe, my friend, there's also the solemn possibility that you may not believe. And go out of this meeting without God's salvation and without forgiveness. And my friend dying in his sins and not sent us to our back and forth meeting bread tonight. The solemn possibility, God no longer only brings us face to face with His Word, but He brings us through His Word with the solemn possibility. God has provided a way of salvation, and God brings that to us in the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's possible to miss God's great salvation, miss death, and die in your sins. Now, friend, we would ask you to consider this. Said the Lord Jesus in John chapter 8, if you die in your sins, if you believe not that I am He, if we do not come to that moment of trusting the Son of God, trusting Christ as our Savior, if we believe not, He says, ye shall die in your sins. My friend, that is the greatest tragedy that ever could happen to a man or woman, or to a boy, or to a girl. I have told you in Vancouver a number of times of a dear friend of mine down in Costa Rica, and one of his brother is in the assembly today, or is in association with the assembly. He's at a distance from it now, but he was in the assembly at India Cologne, saved by the grace of God. And this dear brother came along to the gospel meetings that we first celebrated in Via Cologne. He never missed a meeting. He was always there. Many a time he missed his supper to come along to hear the gospel. And after about 3 weeks of coming faithfully out to hear the message of salvation, Edward told me, he says, he was starting to miss, and I began to ask him why. I said, Edgar, we haven't been seeing you lately out to the meeting. He says, well, I've made my decision. He says, I've made my decision. He says, I like my life of sin. He says, I lead a life of immorality. And he says, I know that I can't lead that life of immorality and be a Christian. I've made my choice. I've made my choice. I know what I want. He says, I realize that these things are true. But he says, I've made my choice. It was only a matter of a number of months until Edgar was on his motorcycle. He was heading out westward towards the city of Queenstown, riding too close to the center of the road. A car came around, and in a few seconds, the man was actually out in the east energy. And you know, as I stood with his dear brother, Willie, in the cemetery, I tell you, we could all, we could see, we couldn't even speak to one another. We just embraced in our bodies stick together, and we wept, because we knew poor Edgar had left behind his decision, and left behind no testimony of having accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. My, it's a tragedy, my friend, to die in your sin, and it's possible. If you miss Christ, if you miss the Savior, my friend, you die in your sin. Now, I look at for a few moments at the two things that have to do. I want to speak specifically of that. What will be the issue if you die in your sin? First of all, we want to notice that if you die in your sin, Christ said, where I am, thither you cannot come. I think one of the most solemn words we read concerning that in the New Testament is in the second epistle of Thessalonians, chapter 1, where we read of those who will go out into eternity without the Savior, and it says they shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. The Spanish says, excluded from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. My friend, just think for a moment what it would be if you die in your sins and you go out into eternity, out into eternal ruin, excluded from the presence of the Lord forever. You know, in His presence is fullness of joy, and that is right on their faces forevermore. But I want to tell you, that out in hell fire, there's no pleasure. There's no joy. There's weeping, and there's wailing, and there's gnashing of teeth. And my friend, you'll stand before the judgment bar of God, and hear the words of faith. Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Go to go away from the presence of the Savior, the one who could have been your Savior. Excluded from the presence of the Lord. My friend, count it up. You are maybe hesitating as to God's salvation tonight because of a few pleasures of sin. My friend, you're only a first season, and then it's to be excluded from the presence of the Lord, and excluded from all joy and happiness, to the place of eternal sadness, and eternal darkness, and eternal woe. Then would you not consider it tonight? The awful tragedy, if you die in your sins. Another thing. Another consequence if we die in our sins. Said the Lord, said the writer to the Hebrews, if we neglect so great salvation, that is, if we misjudge as our Savior, how shall we escape? And of course, there is more escape. But I was asking myself, as I was considering this verse, if we neglect so great salvation, how shall we escape? How shall we escape what? It says under the time of the law of Moses, every transgression and disobedience receives a just recompense of reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How shall we escape what? The just recompense of reward of every transgression and of every disobedience. My friend, understand plainly that if you die without strength of your Savior, you're going to have to face every transgression and disobedience at the judgment bar of God.
You're going to see the books open and face your record, and you're going to receive the just recompense, the due reward of every transgression and every disobedience. My, what an awful thing I'd hate to face my record, friend. But thank God that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Thank God He came. Thank God there's a way of salvation, and for a few moments we would desire to tell you of God's way of salvation. And that brings me to the third point I had in view in John chapter 15. I was reading the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I had not come, if I had not come and had spoken unto them, they had not sin or guilt, that is, in rejecting me. We thank God that the Lord Jesus Christ has come, but you know, as I was reading these words in view of the gospel meeting tonight, the first five words got into my heart, and it broke down my heart in gratitude to the Lord. This is what the Lord Jesus said. If I had not come, my, I thought, my, where would this poor sinner here be? Where would this poor man laden down with guilt and sin? Where would I be if the Lord Jesus Christ had not come? My, what an awful tragedy for me as I think of the awful enormity of my sins and the fact that I would be going out into the presence of a righteous God. My, where would I stand? Where would I be for eternal ages if the Lord Jesus Christ the Savior had never come. Thank God he came. You know, Job, as he was thinking of what it would be if there was no Savior, in Job chapter 9, he was saying, how can a man be just with God? And he contemplated the fact that as to his present knowledge, he says there's no dazed man, there's no mediator, there's no go between me and God. He says, what'll I do? He says, I know I'm going out to meet a holy God, and as I think of my sins, he says, how can I contend with a God like that that knows all about me? How can I contend with a righteous God? I know that of 1,000 things that I'm going to have to meet in the coming day, I'll not be able to answer one. Oh, he felt the enormity of his sin. Well, thank God, friends, there is a Savior. And I say, if it weren't for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world to save sinners, where would we be? What will you present, dear friend, when you have to meet God? Will you tell him as God calls your sin into review? Will you pray as God presents that which is past? And as God calls you into account, my friend, will you tell him of your good life? Will you tell him of your baptism? When God brings before you your sin, will you tell him that you were a good church goer? My friend, none of these things will take away from the awful guilt of sin. Says the Lord Jesus Christ, if I had not come, but thank God he came. Thank God he came to us in all our guilt and shame. And friends, if he hadn't come, where would we be? Brother Dave McGahee makes the announcement. He was reminding us of his dear father, and one time when out he was watching a fire in a home. And the man in the home, you know, he had about 4 or 5 children, and the fire came up, and the house was burning. And he was outside, and they heard the cries of one of the children that was up there in the house. And as the father realized that one of his children was lost in there and perishing in the flames, he sought to get into the house, and it took 4 strong, able-bodied firemen to restrain him. As he thought of the terribleness, he was willing to risk the awful fires, willing to lose his own life, that he might see his child saved. Well, he knew a little of what it would involve and was willing to pay the price. But you know, as we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, what if he has not come? You know, the Lord Jesus Christ knew full well that the wages of sin is death. The Lord Jesus knew full well there was a judgment to be paid. And yet, thank God that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He knew that upon Golgotha's tree, that Jehovah would lay upon him the iniquity of us all. He knew that the floodgates of the wrath of God would be opened, and on him would fall the vengeance of Almighty God. He knew that the judgment, the chastisement with a view to our peace, was upon him. He knew that the awful waves and billows of God's wrath would fall upon him when his soul was made an offering for our sin. But thank God he came. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And Christ loved us, and he gave himself for us, and he suffered that awful wrath and judgment, friends, that you and I might be saved. Christ also hath once suffered for sins, he the just one, for us the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And now he's risen, and he lives in the power of an endless life, and he's able to save to the uttermost, eternally, all that will come unto God by him. My friend, will you come? Will you come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Now I want to think, as I close my message, I want to think the fact that there is another condition. God provides us with the way of salvation, a salvation full and free in the Lord Jesus Christ who did come. Thank God he came. And he not only did works that none other could, He did a great work, the work of redemption, that none other could. He finished the work, and now God faces us with what we will do with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. He brings to us the simple message of the gospel, and we read here in John chapter 3, and with this we close in this wonderful message of salvation. The Lord Jesus says, "If I tell you of heavenly things, how shall ye believe? If I tell you of heavenly things, how shall ye believe?" Well, now the Lord Jesus, God in His Word, has told us of many things. He has told us of earthly things so we can understand. When God tells me that I'm a sinner, when God tells me that I've sinned and come short of the glory of God, I can understand that. And you see, it is through the Word of God that I can have the knowledge of salvation. It's through the same Word of God, through the same simple believing what God says, that I find out that I'm a sinner. You see, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that I'm short of God's glory. I know that I'm under condemnation, because God reveals it in His precious Word. And I believe what He has revealed in this way. Now the same God tells me of His way of salvation. Tells me that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, trusteth in Him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. What does it mean to believe, to trust Christ? For, it explains it, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. In other words, to believe, to trust Christ, is to trust Him, the Savior, the living Savior, to save you from eternal condemnation. He that believeth in Him is not condemned, but he that believeth or trusteth not is condemned already. My friend, if you can believe what God says, that if you do not trust Christ, you'll be condemned and you'll be lost forever. I'm sure many of you that have heard the gospel over and over again, you know that if you die in your sins, you'll be lost. You know that Christ died for our sins. You know that if you don't trust Him, God says you'll be condemned. Now He says, if I tell you of heavenly things, if I tell you of the way to heaven, the way of salvation, how can you believe? By simply believing the same way as we believe God's revelation of our sinnership. The same way as we believe God's way that tells us of our condemnation. If you can believe that if you don't trust Christ, you'll be condemned. My friend, why not simply believe God's way of salvation and believe that if you do trust Christ, then you'll be saved and that you'll not be condemned. Oh, would there would be one in the midst of the night that were like the man of Mark chapter 9. And he said, "Lord, help thou, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." Trust Christ as your Savior. Receive Him and go out of this meeting tonight with the assurance from God's Word. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth on Him is not condemned.